Episode 268 of Way of the Warrior, talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We'll get it going. We finally got Joe back. We got him to quit his job so he could join the podcast that clearly pays much better. So we will do that. It's episode 268 of Way of the Warrior. Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, along with Ken and Joby Wan Kenobi, is finally back, which is super exciting. I'm nearly as excited about you as I am the Cyborg announcement that happened on Wednesday night. So a lot of exciting things to talk about, but we start with welcome back.
Thanks. It feels good to be back.
Sam, how have you been?
I was training with Brock Lesnar for a while, getting him ready for his big UFC debut.
Gotcha.
That fell through this week, and so it freed up my schedule to come back.
Don't jump the headlines. Don't come back
and get on the show with you guys.
So the big announcement was that Ken and I have been talking for weeks about what is Brock Lesnar going to do, because WrestleMania is coming up. His contract went through WrestleMania. It looked like he could choose one of many a sundry of things: Bellator, UFC, or stay with WWE. He ended up on SportsCenter, which, Ken, I kind of want some purview in to what a big deal that is, because normally they don't spend a lot of time even talking about wrestling, let alone lead up to WrestleMania. So this is kind of a big thing to get him on there.
Well, I mean, the one good thing that WWE has going, and they obviously set this up, and I don't know if SportsCenter actually knew what the announcement was going to be, because obviously if Brock is coming back to the UFC, former heavyweight champion of the world, the biggest pay-per-view draw in UFC history when you average out those single events, they want that story. So Brock's in LA. WrestleMania, I believe, is out there. I think they're out there. I don't know where they are. I know they're all in L.A. They were in there L.A. Monday for Raw. I think that's what it was. So they've had a lot of guys obviously doing press and things like that. So ESPN doesn't want to be left out on this, and they were able to put him up in the L.A. studio. They had Beetle there, who does some of the stuff, do the initial part. Then they had Coachman do the second part. I think this was interesting, too, because they've also done some Conor McGregor stuff in
yes,
the past week,
yes,
too. So it's very interesting, especially for the fact that he went back to WWE. I think I called this line of reasoning a couple weeks ago on the show. I said he's not going to be able to do both, which is probably his ideal. Second thing he'd want to do is do MMA if he has to do a full-time wrestling schedule. And I asked if Vince is going to make him do that. Mm-hmm. He's not going to go back to WWE.
Sure.
But he essentially said it on the air. I'm a guy getting paid full time to do part time. That's living the dream. That's what he wants to do. He never liked traveling. He'll only have to do it 7, 8, 9, 10 times a year with WWE. And on top of that, he can train whatever he wants. He can basically just stay in ring shape. He doesn't have to be ready for a fight. So you could kind of tell. It's kind of amazing with a guy like Brock. He's a freak athlete because he doesn't seem to like the training all that much.
Right.
He doesn't like the road for WWE. He doesn't like the 8-week camps for UFC just to fight once. He wants to go out there, be an entertainer, basically pick his spots. He's got basically the Brock Lesnar deal, the only guy who can have that deal, because he's the only guy with enough cachet to make Lorenzo Fertitta pick up the phone the night before he goes on to SportsCenter and say, "Hey, you know that offer? How about we double it? You want to double it? We can double it." Think about how amazing that is.
Right.
At whatever astronomical level of money they were offering Brock, they just straight up offered to double it the night before when they realized he was going back to WWE.
Well, and before we dig into this, let's hear the announcement itself. This is Brock Lesnar on SportsCenter earlier this week.
It was a very hard decision for me. I'm at a stage in my career where I want to... It was just hard. It was hard for me. And it's hard to talk about it, but the fighter inside of me wants to compete. Mm-hmm. The father, the husband. You know, I'm an older caveman now. So I make wiser caveman decisions. So I'm here to say that my legacy in the octagon is over. However, my legacy this Sunday at WrestleMania will not be my last.
And so, you know, a couple things that I want to pull out of that is, number one, yeah, you know, the stroke that the guy has to get the double offer. And we talked about this dream scenario where it ends up being Frank Mir and Brock Lesnar New Year's Eve for, you know, another fight between those two to kind of wrap that thing up. And what does that trajectory look like? And it paints a really pretty picture for the UFC, especially when we are leading into, and we'll talk about Hector Lombard here in a second, when we're heading up to D-Day of July, where they're going to, you know, institute this new testing, and what's going to happen to all of the people on the roster. Of course, they're going to offer him double because they know the draw that he's going to be. You know, one of the things that I had not put together prior to looking at him on SportsCenter is I hadn't put together, like, he's the only person in history that's a UFC champ, a WWE champ, and an NCAA champ. That's not a thing unless your name is Brock Lesnar. So, of course, you can ask for double. But what I thought was really interesting is that first 2 minutes, and you hear it in the audio that we just played, it's not, at least to me, and maybe I'm just buying in on it, it didn't seem like a work. It seemed like it was a genuine struggle that he struggled with and came to this decision based purely on, like you said, he could get the Brock Lesnar deal that he wanted from whichever party was willing to do that.
How cool would this be if it were a swerve, though? loses on Sunday night at WrestleMania, ends up back in a UFC cage, and then goes back and forth.
Yeah, he said he was actually training to go back into the UFC. So that, just to get an insight into his mindset, that there was the speculation that he had cut weight to get down to 265. And he admitted now over the last couple of days that he's been training to go back into the UFC. Eric, are you sad to see him stay with WWE, not come back to the UFC?
I'm not necessarily sad. I'm all for, I mean, you know, it's interesting the parallels this week where we'll talk in a second here about Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor. You know, I'm a fan of the entertainment side of the sport, and Brock was certainly somebody that brought the entertainment side. I just think, and he said it in the SportsCenter interview, like, he just was a guy who just, what was the point of going back? Like, was it just because I didn't like the way that it ended? And I think, read into that, I'm a guy who doesn't really like to get punched.
Yeah.
Right? I like punching people a lot, but I really don't like getting hit.
Well, he still holds the record for he's tied for the record having two consecutive heavyweight title championship bouts, winning twice in a row. So he was no fluke, right? He won twice in a row. I think Cain Velasquez is the only guy who's also done that. My point in that is, I'm not sure where I'm going. I lost that one. Sorry, guys. Another point I did want to make, though, is Ronda Rousey right now is the biggest draw in UFC, right? She did roughly 500,000 pay-per-view buys the last time.
Sure.
Brock Lesnar did 1.6 million, three times what the biggest draw does right now.
Well, he's done a million three times. He's got three of the top five in UFC history. So, I mean, it's not hyperbole to say this dude is the biggest pay-per-view draw. Obviously, there's guys that have fought more fights and have racked up more views when you total them out, but when you average this guy's pay-per-views out, he was going to make money. He would have made money for the rest of the card too. There's other guys that would have been screaming to be on these cards that Brock Lesnar was on. And I think he realized too, at 37 and the guy he is, he's going to have a big target on him. And he probably went in there to train for UFC fights, and he probably feels like he could do well, but he's a guy that's going to want to be the best in the world. And there's a bit of a bitter taste going out the way he did. I think he's a dude that knows it could be worse depending on the situation. I think that's why we talked a lot about what are the real matchups here. I think Frank Mir was one. I think Alistair was one. And I think after that, you know, you got a guy who's 39, 40 years old trying to fight dudes that have been built as mixed martial artists to be heavyweights as they've come up in the sport. Junior Dos Santos and Shane Carwin, two top guys in the division. And again, we won't get back into, you don't want to see them fight anymore, even though they'll probably have to. But those are the guys.
Cain Velasquez. He's not going to fight.
Oh,
Shane
I'm sorry.
Shane Carwin.
I'm sorry. I was just looking at the Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Big comeback for Shane. Big comeback for Shane. I'm calling it.
Hidden announcement this week.
My bad. I was looking at those pay-per-view numbers, which are astronomical. You did that with Shane Carwin.
Right.
My God.
What a beautiful fight, too. You remember? He was getting pounded in the first round.
Oh, for Brock?
Yeah, and then came back. That's when I really...
We're reminiscing now.
Yeah.
We are. Well,
I mean, that really shows that championship spirit that he had to come from, you know, losing so bad to come back and winning.
Well, and at that point, too, I think his stomach was eating itself at that point. So,
sure.
I mean, I'm not trying to be flip about it, but seriously, the guy had some major health problems. I think that's the part you ask, will you be disappointed that he didn't come back to the UFC? I think that's the part I'm disappointed in. I wouldn't have even minded if he would have come back and taken maybe just the Alistair and the Mir fights. or maybe just taken a fight or two. I really would have liked to have seen him be able to test himself, but I know that there was also a portion of that that would have affected his WWE deal. And he's a guy, he's looking out for his family. He's
Absolutely.
Got, he's got a family. He's got to feed them, you know. His gimmick, if you want to talk about gimmicks in WWE, which I think plays into this simply because of the money he was able to get out of Vince McMahon, enough to keep him away from Lorenzo Fertitta doubling the millions upon millions of dollars I'm sure they offered him. Part of that gimmick is the badass UFC guy. Well, you go take that Alistair fight and you get punched in the tummy and you cry, that gimmick's over. That gimmick's done.
Yep.
So he has to realize, okay, Vince isn't going to pay me as much if I go and I lose again. Now, Vince will probably still pay him a lot of money and you can build him up and do 100 different things. But obviously, this is a situation where you look at it right now. I don't know. Maybe we keep it in the back of our minds. Maybe Vince just paid him enough to say he re-signed for a couple weeks.
Vince,
so we can swerve WrestleMania.
Right.
Because they're having a big problem, too. And again, we don't need to start busting out WWE business issues. But they've got a guy fighting Brock Lesnar that basically everybody hates at this point in Roman Reigns.
Right.
Your new tap out, face of tap out, by the way, is Roman Reigns.
Yes, that was another interesting news this week is that we'll tap out is later. Joining the WWE. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, interesting news and an interesting selection, and I don't know that it's a swerve, but
it could be a swerve. Fingers
totally
crossed.
It could be a swerve. The other huge news that broke on, it was bubbling on Tuesday, broke on Wednesday night, is that Cyborg Santos is actually a UFC employee. What does that mean? Well, that means all of the talk about the Ronda Cyborg fight could actually come to fruition. However, pump the brakes a second, because there's a giant caveat here.
Is this, well, this is the caveat, though, I've called for, I think, what 2 weeks ago on the show.
You did, yes. Yeah, so you had a little kind of foresight into what was going to happen. She has been signed for, I think they said, a couple months.
Yep.
But the caveat is she has to take a fight at 135 in Invicta, get to that weight, obviously test clean, obviously hit the weight before this Ronda thing is even a possibility. So we're not even, this is all planned to do by the end of this year, and then we get Ronda at some point in 2016.
Well,
if.
This is good, though. This is the natural step. I know you weren't here, Joe, at that point, but we talked about this, and for all the talk and all the Santos talk and how mad she was that she's got to come to Ronda at this point, you know, basically this is what she has to do.
Yep.
I was stunned that she's not already trying to make fights at 135 because she's got to prove that point at some point. And I love this caveat. I mean, UFC's got to do it. Like, look, okay, you know what? We're going to give you the fight, but you definitely got to come down to weight, because what we can't do is have somebody who's been busted for steroids sort of looks like a dude come in and beat our champion at 145. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And Ronda won't take it unless it's at 135. Well, she's set as much, and she doesn't need to. Eric, you made a point a couple weeks ago that that Cyborg weighed in Friday at 145. Sunday weighed 175 pounds.
Yes.
So we're talking about somebody who walks around probably even heavier than that making 135. I think that's a stretch.
Well, it may or may not be a stretch, but let's remember, I mean, how much of that is, you know, how much of that could you cut down naturally? You know, you don't need to walk around 30. If you can get down to 45, maybe you don't need to walk around at 75. You can have the same discussion about Connor and Jose, two guys who put on a ton of weight and dropped to 45. All of those guys, you could have that conversation. Like, you don't really need to. You're not giant dudes. You could maybe.
Yeah, it'd be tough. And if she hits 135, is she going to be the same fighter that we've seen at 145?
I don't know, but I mean, interesting that she's already, we talk about the echoes of Chael Sonnen and now the echoes of Conor McGregor. She's already talking trash and telling Ronda that she should retire to movies or drop to 125 because she's going to run over
there
everybody.
Isn't even a 125.
Who, Cyborg saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just make the weight.
Right.
Let's go. Just rewind the show, whatever number it was a couple weeks ago. Just
go do that. Just go do that.
Because I told you that time. I was tired of it, and now I'm already tired of it. Go do the fight at the weight, and then you can start. You make one fight. Go ahead. Start talking.
Sure.
You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get her in the cage, because she's the biggest star in MMA right now. She's on the Tonight Show.
Right.
I mean, this is ridiculous. This is... I am floored by this. You guys probably called it better than I did. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And obviously, if you would have said, hey, she's going to go take that arm in 14 seconds, I would have foresaw a little more of this. Yeah. This is amazing what she's been able to do.
Well, and again, this feeds back into this theory that we have that what happens in July, right? After Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo, when this test comes into you know, full view for everybody in the organization. What is going to happen to everybody in the organization? And, you know, how much are they going to rely on Ronda to be the draw at that point? Because as Ken has so astutely put out, everybody's going to essentially be used, save for Kane and Verdum, before July.
Ronda's not going to fight again until the fall.
Totally understand that. But what I'm saying is we don't have much now with Brock not coming.
Right.
You don't have much star power save for Kane towards the end of the year. And this just continues to Ronda being in movies, taking this natural break off, fighting Beth at UFC 190. You know, like all of those things feed into the fact that she is a huge Dynamite star. And if she does what she's been doing in Brazil, I think that's only going to make that stardom bigger. And then, obviously, the other couple pieces of note before we get to Aldo and Connor.
Can we go with her new nickname, though, that she that she said she was to ESPN, where she called herself the Ovarian Goldmine?
What?
Yeah, she was talking about the fact that she had a crush on guys like Bill Maher and Richard Gere.
Awesome.
So if Michael Buffer says that instead of Rowdy,
yes,
I'm paying for that.
You're
every
buying
time.
That shirt I'm
every
sure.
time.
Ooh, merchandising!
Yeah, right. Get on.
Get on that tap out.
Get on. Yes.
Get off Roman Reigns there, who The Rock can't make popular, and get on Ronda Rousey here, the Ovarian Gold Mine.
So the NSAC, I should say, had one of Ken and my favorite sitcoms this week in a hearing on Monday that was supposed to star Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz, who asked for an extension on that.
Right.
Nick had even gone so far as hiring a law firm out of New York to fight what he calls irregularities in the test that he was busted for marijuana metabolites. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the Anderson side of the story, but the Nick Diaz story gets more interesting. And I know the last time you were here, Joe, we talked about being busted four times. They're going to throw the book at him. So maybe he does need a lawyer to draft a better defense than what he has right now. And when you look at what happened to Hector Lombard, which we'll talk about in a second, I think he's probably in the right getting a good firm behind him.
Yeah, if you think about Kung Lee did the same thing, right? He was pretty much caught red-handed. He lawyered up. He contested it and ended up getting off on a technicality. I don't think it's that disputed that Kung Lee tested positive for steroids. It was the way that it was handled.
I don't believe it.
So I think Nick's doing the right thing. Why not? What does he have to lose?
Tune in last week.
I listened to most of it. I fell asleep when Ken started talking.
Well, that's essentially what I said. I don't blame these guys because of the clown show that is the NAC.
Right.
All they're ever going to do
is just weed.
And they're just going to backdate the punishment to when the fight was. Doesn't matter how many months they take.
Yeah.
My guess is that, they're never going to punish them from the actual hearing.
I know, but what does that change? Who cares?
Well, that means
he's not fighting.
That's what I'm saying. You're not listening.
I'm
saying they'll backdate the punishment no matter how long this takes. So you might as well take as long as you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Hell, keep making the hearings go a year and go, I did do it all. Doesn't a year sound good?
I suspended.
Yeah, a year sounds great. Oh, suspension's all over with.
That is the greatest sitcom of all time, is watching those guys do that. Hector Lombard, though, didn't get off so easy. They dropped the hammer on him, suspended for one full year.
Whoa!
And it has his win overturned at 183. And you guys may laugh at me, but when I read stuff like this, I wonder if, and feel free to call me an idiot, I wonder if the overturning should be different from, you know, what would be the penalty if Hector Lombard's win went from, instead of a no contest, to a win for Josh Berkman?
Well, I don't think you can hand out a win. I think that's the issue.
I'm doing it right now.
You want to hand out the win to Josh Berkman.
I'm just saying, like, as we're trying to
Or Eric?
Eric. Lost to somebody who was on testosterone. Well,
okay, so it's a no contest, though. You can't hand somebody a win.
But it was a contest.
Right.
That they competed in.
You can't give a guy a win because then you're going to have situations.
Let me ask you this question, and this is totally situational and absolutely not fair. Even if it's something like this where it was a decision, right? Like, Berkman went the whole distance.
It doesn't matter. He didn't win the fight. And again, he didn't...
But he won the hearts and minds.
Okay. All right. So Eric wants you. Maybe
I'm not,
you,
I'm
maybe you and your friends who forget to rank people on the UFC ranking should be the arbiters.
I'm not even these are the things that I wonder, especially when something like this comes out. And you've got Hector Lombard saying crazy things like he took a Z-Pack for the flu and that's why he tested positive, and finding doctors that are like, yeah, I guess sort of that could be a thing.
I gotta get some Z-Packs.
Exactly. But he, you know, he was quoted as saying, I cannot find the proper words to describe how I feel at this moment. I've let down the UFC, Dana White, the Fertittas, my fans, my family, my sponsors, countless others. I owe an apology to my opponent, Josh Berkman. As an athlete, I owe my living to maintaining my body at peak physical condition and trust those around me within my inner circuit to provide me with the proper guidance and nutrition to enable me to perform at my best. However, I know ultimately I'm responsible for what I put in my body. So even though I took that Z-Pack from that weird girl on January 2nd, it's ultimately my responsibility.
Did he get the Z-Pack on Craigslist?
The story is really weird because it's essentially like there was a girl in the gym that I trusted that I told her I had the flu and she brought this thing to me.
Huh. Was this out of competition testing? Is that how they popped him?
No, I don't think this one was.
No, this was after. This was after. But again,
we don't officially get that until July.
Okay.
But that's why we were talking about the fact
they are doing some out of competition testing.
They are, but for as hard as they dropped the hammer on Hector Lombard, like I had a couple people on Twitter asking me who... You forget sometimes when you live in this universe that you understand a little bit more how this process works. You know, yeah. I've had a couple of people who are like, well, he can fight someplace else. I'm like, well, technically, yes, except for he's still under a UFC contract who have essentially also suspended him because of this.
And, what'll happen is, especially NAC, as much of a clown show as it is, nobody's going to commission. No commission is going to license him.
Grant him license.
And obviously, you could go fight at a casino. You could fight out of the country. Yeah. UFC is not going to let him do that.
This is what I'm saying.
And they won't even do that with their fighters. So they've got him under contract. They self-regulate some events, especially overseas. They always recognize the commission as well so that they can work with the commission back and forth. Because if they don't, then they're going to have problems in Vegas. And that's the problem with the NAC and their power is they've got ultimate power, essentially. And you can't have a problem with Vegas if you're in the fight game.
We said that, you know, he's getting the hammer dropped on him. A one-year suspension, is that really getting the hammer dropped on him?
It is if you're 38 years old. Yeah,
he's an older dude that was right around that title shot again.
I mean, you're 22. I'm with you. Who cares? You know, go train for a year, get in better shape, take good care of yourself, eat sushi for 12 months. Whatever you're going to do, I'm with you. You're 38 years old. Yeah, that's the hammer.
Yeah, I guess, you know, going back to a conversation we had a few weeks ago, which is if you get popped for steroids, is 1 year a long enough suspension? And the general consensus is no. People want to see a longer suspension than 1 year.
But you suspend him, let's say he gets popped in July. You never see him again. 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You know, like you're never seeing Hector Lombard again.
Yeah. And perhaps that's a, you know.
It doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future, what people wanted. I mean, realistically speaking, this is a guy who moved to welterweight, had a couple of wins, had 3 wins at that point at welterweight.
Yes. Yep.
Right? So, I mean, we talked about it before. You never know where these guys are going to land. We talked about it last week on the show. Hell, you get on the card with the champ. Some guy goes out. You're in a championship bout. Yep. So this is a dude that, a year is going to hurt a lot. A lot. Now, will he come back? You know, sometimes these guys heal up. Sometimes they can Frank Mir it. Hey, I'm going to redo my training and rethink how I'm doing this. But I
Frank
mean, it's
Mir it.
I think Frank's looked better than he has in a long time. But this is definitely a heavy blow. Is it as heavy as it would be in July? No, but this is a crushing blow still.
Yeah, I guess a 1 year suspension for getting tested positive for testosterone is. In his circumstances, because of his age, I think is a hammer being dropped. But I would still like to see a longer suspension, a minimum of 2 years.
I don't think people don't want to see a longer suspension. Yeah, but, looking at this, and I would even disagree with Eric. Sometimes these 22-year-old guys, they're fighting to eat.
But
the guys
meant,
back
like,
at Publix with the
totally,
bagging groceries.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, so that aside, right?
Because they can't fight anywhere.
I don't want them to go to Best Buy or Walmart
or
whatever.
If they're on steroids, they should.
But what I'm saying is a 1 year suspension when you're 22 from a career standpoint is much different. Save for the monetary, if you're, you know, fighting to eat and you can't pay your camp, I get all of that stuff. And if you cheat, you obviously deserve the punishment. But I mean, 12 months to a 22-year-old or 12 months to a 38-year-old, they become very different discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk here about, I don't even know if there could be more excitement going on right now, about Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo. Let's hear a little audio from the world tour that they've been doing this week.
The eyes don't lie. The eyes don't lie. The eyes don't lie. Look into my eyes, little man. Little Brazilian. Ooh, vamos, hey. What you got to say now? Face to face. Man to man. What you got to say? What you got nothing to say?
Thank you, guys.
Face to face, you've got nothing to say. You've got nothing to say face to face. Give me that. Special in that.
And so we've had four embedded episodes for a fight that doesn't even happen till July. And what's even more interesting about this is it's only two guys. You know, the last time they've done these world tours, it's been more than one person. Full it's cast. Been all the champs, a full cast, whatever you want to say. And they didn't do this. They didn't do this.
They didn't need to.
For John Jones and Rumble Johnson.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
They didn't do this. And I don't know that they need to do this. I mean, the audio has been great. I mean, the audio you heard was from first stop in Brazil. The stop in Boston was insane. Dana White had to get in the middle of the two of those guys. I wonder, though, you know, with this much buildup, like, what do you think this fight's going to go like? You know, you've got Jose Aldo's camps who, you know, calling him chicken legs and saying, well, just cut him in half. And you've got Conor McGregor who's making it turn into, a level on Mortal Kombat where he's going to rip his head off and kill him. And neither of those two seem like reasonable outcomes.
Yeah, so Dana White has said that this is the most he's ever spent on promoting a fight. The way I see it panning out, I think Conor McGregor is in his head. I think it's clear when you watch the videos. There's the language barrier, right? So he's not really kind of volleying back and forth. But it looks like he's really gotten his head. And I haven't seen anybody else get in his head like this.
Do you think it's
before.
The Portuguese that gets in his head? Like, you know, the audio that I just played, you hear Portuguese in the middle, which is Conor McGregor saying, you are going to die, which is the chant that the crowd is screaming
right,
at Conor
right.
McGregor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is that what you're talking about?
No, I just... So they can't argue, like, two people speaking the same native tongue, right? And you've got Conor McGregor. He takes the belt, puts it over his shoulder, and says, come get it. Come get it. This is my belt.
Well, that's not what he said.
Are we meerkatting?
He said something else.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
I think he's in his head, and I think that's going to affect the fight.
I feel like this is the complete opposite. I love what Conor's doing, but I think he's out of his element. I think he's fighting up too much at this point, and I think I think Aldo's camp is exactly right. They're going to go in, and they're going to wear him out, and they're going to cut him down. And it's going to be very interesting.
So
I want to see it, though, now. Why are we doing the promotion now? I guess we got a lead up to it.
I don't know.
But if you're a casual fan trying to see this thing, I want to see this a month before, not July.
And like, especially when you've got this huge card in May. And I guess you could argue that you don't need to promote
that
card.
And they always do this. So I guess you're always working ahead, and I get that. But, even myself, I got a little confused when you were sending tweets out. I'm like, wait, is this happening soon? What's going on? I thought this was a while away.
Well, I was surprised when I saw one episode of Embedded. I thought, oh, they're doing some press stuff. This is cool. Put this stuff on you. And then they're like two episodes and then three episodes and then four. I'm going, I have a calendar. I'm pretty sure it's not even April yet.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, too, because I do want to see this fight now. I don't think that desire is going to die down, but I always find these interesting because you've got a situation that could happen like Cormier and Jones,
where you
have a lot of hype rolling, and then the fight ends up getting canceled.
You've got that, Ken, and then you've got, as you just alluded to, the casual fan. There's probably 19 events between now and July 11th. I'm not even looking, and I'm just guessing.
You're pretty close. Right.
You know, and if there's 19 events between now and then, how is that casual fan going to stay on top of all of those things, especially when we want to do one, I would guess they would be happy to do 1 or 1.5 million buys for the May fight. Right,
that do you think they'll do that? Is that even in the?
Oh yeah, they'd be
ballpark?
Happy with that. They'd be happy with 400,000.
But what I'm saying,
I just don't see that happening.
What I'm saying is, if you, I'm not disagreeing. But what I'm saying is, if you want that to happen, maybe you should start telling the story, because there are some people who think Weidman Belfort might have already happened because they missed the injury and they don't even know that that fight didn't happen. Right?
Yeah.
And they're just going to wake up one day and go, "Oh, he's still got the belt at 185. Is he still fighting that guy? That's crazy." You know, John Jones and Rumble Johnson are on the same card. That's insane.
Right.
Well, you've already blown by the Demetrius Johnson fight. That's next. That's their next pay-per-view. We've got the balls to ask you for money for this. That's what this should be called.
But, we'll
broke down Johnson Horiguchi for me last week.
I like Horiguchi, and I like this fight, but I just don't think it's $60 worth.
No, I don't think so either.
But to your point, Ken, if somebody really loves Mighty Mouse, because he's a guy that fans like him, they just don't necessarily pay a lot of money to see him fight. They like him. We're blowing by all of that stuff.
Yeah,
there's a fight next week.
Machida and Rockhold's happening. We've got fights... in Poland. What is that? Miocic?
Stipe. No, it's not.
Oh,
it's,
no, that's Gonzaga Krokop.
It's Gonzaga Krokop.
Rampage Jackson and Fabio Maldonado.
That's on the Johnson card.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is stuff that it's interesting, the promotion here, because I don't know that if you ran those four YouTube videos on June 15th, they wouldn't have the same impact that they're having today. Like, I'm with you. I don't know that it's necessary to start
and,
right now.
And we can obviously reset it later. It just always seemed weird, and they obviously know what they're doing. But I've always found it, and you and I have always been in this bit of a broadcast / marketing world. We've never really been able to sync up. It's cool content, and you and I are consuming it because we talk about MMA every week. But is somebody who's casually like looking at that going, oh, that's pretty sweet. I'm gonna mark. Hold on, let me grab my phone. I'm gonna mark down July 18th.
Go back.
Get that pay per view because that guy said the F word to the other guy. And spoke Portuguese.
If that's all it takes, like,
right.
You know, just if you just drop F-bombs all day long, people will buy stuff. That's all you need
to do. I think they're nurturing these international markets, too, right? Like, they know Conor McGregor is a marketing win on their part. So they're bringing him to Brazil. They're bringing him to Canada. They're obviously going to the UK. They've got TV deals in all these markets, and they're nurturing them to a certain point.
It's certainly interesting because I think you're 100% right, because we've seen the same. Floyd Mayweather does this every time he has a fight.
Sure he does.
He's already been out with Pacquiao. That fight's not till May. I know that doesn't seem as far away as this fight, and it's not. But they were out last month doing this. But again, that's all Golden Boy essentially has going on right now. They've obviously got their Friday night fights and whatever they're going to do here and there, but that's their pay-per-view. Right. UFC with the same model still has a bunch of other things going on. So I just always find it interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, I know some of those guys probably listen here and there. And they're not necessarily going to share their marketing secrets, but I certainly, if anybody listening or is on Twitter or on Facebook, can enlighten us what they're doing and what the thought process is behind it, I'd certainly like to hear it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, save for the world tour they did when Ronda fought, and they did that thing in the middle of the day with Fight Pass where they brought out all the champs, and that was when you got to see John and Rumble kind of punk Dana White.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last time you've seen them do any press.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. And so, yeah, it becomes a little bit weird. That said, I would, if you're going to do this, I wish you would go all in and you would do these videos from now until July, because I can't get enough of them. I love the back and forth. I love what these guys are doing. I get that if we put them together too many times between now and July, somebody's going to murder another person. I totally get that, but I would like to see that.
It's pure entertainment. I mean, if you haven't watched those, you need to. We'll put them up on the Facebook page. They're great.
I put one of them up today, but we'll put the rest of them up because I just cannot get enough. Okay, when we get back, we actually had a fight this past weekend. You wouldn't know it by what we're talking about, but we did have one. We'll talk about that.
That's the other thing, too, is they kind of bury some of their stuff.
Just like we did. We'll talk about it next on Way of the Warrior. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Talked a little bit about Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor. We talked about Cyborg. We talked about Brock Lesnar. And we failed to mention that there were fights over the weekend.
Well, hold on. The key word for the day is platforms. So
yes.
So if you missed us on Periscope earlier, what are we doing now?
We're now on Meerkat.
We're now on Meerkat.
Yeah, so we're playing around. Well, I just wanted, like, they're both out today. I wanted to play with both of them and see which one, you know, because there's more people right now on Meerkat than there are Periscope because They're clearly ignoring Android just like Meerkat did. So I
what,
know you're angry.
What is with that?
I know you're angry about that, but I wanted to play with both of them.
I'm going back to YouTube.
You can do that. We'll
you
stream it
on iPhone.
Live events on YouTube.
Do. That's yeah, that's, the lesson.
That's what I want to do. I just want to downgrade.
That's the lesson here.
I want to downgrade with
just get an iPhone.
30% of the world.
That's what Periscope and Meerkat are trying to tell you. It's not about streaming video. It's about selling Apple peripherals. So please go buy an iPhone. All right. So UFC Fight Night 62 this past weekend, which should have been aptly titled just Jiu-Jitsu because it was some of the sickest Jiu-Jitsu I've seen in a long, long time. Godfredo Pepe, that flying triangle in the it was super sweet. Damian Maia absolutely owning Ryan LaFlair. Ryan broke his hand in the first round, and it didn't matter because, I mean, Damian Maia is just a guy that I don't know that there are too many guys save for Jacare. I think they can grapple at the level of Damian Maia.
Are you bothered by his lack of strikes? So he even came out afterwards and said that jiu-jitsu is kind of impeding him from striking as much as he should, and he's going to work on that. Does that make the fight less exciting for you?
Well, I mean, let me say this. I would say that watching that fight, it felt like there were many times that he should have been able to finish Ryan and didn't. So in that case, you know, as you're getting into round three and round four and you're going, okay, when is this going to be over? Because you're clearly schoolboying him, right? You're younger brothering him for 25 straight minutes. That part kind of bothers me because it seems like there should have been plenty of openings for you to end the fight.
And Dame, I mean, he's been around long enough that he's surely has been striking this whole time. I think, you know,
I think surely must have punched somebody at some point.
I think he's a dude that's where he's going to be, though. I think you just made a good point. I think he's where he's going to be. He's certainly gotten better.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was for a long time, he was that dude that just laid down when Anderson Silva danced around in Abu Dhabi.
Right.
Yes.
But he's obviously gotten past that, but he has been doing this a long time. And when your jiu-jitsu's that good, it's hard to kind of get that effective striking going. Even guys that say they work on this or that, he's still one of those old school guys. We kind of forget it because he doesn't look or feel like one of those guys when you kind of watch him fight sometimes.
Yeah.
But the dude's been doing it a long time.
And he's learned his lesson, too. He's tried to strike with guys before and got owned. So perhaps that's why he, you know.
You're in there to win the fight. And I think, that, you know, he can say sorry later, but we always hear sorry from guys. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't give you a better show. Those guys are in there to win, and they're going to do what they can to win in those instances.
What does this do to Ryan LaFlair, though, who comes into this fight undefeated? Obviously, all of the promotion leading up to it was showing this undefeated fighter. What could be next for this undefeated fighter? Because we just had an undefeated Polish fighter that just walked home with the strawweight championship. What can we expect from Ryan LaFlair? You could expect for him to be rolled around on the ground for 25 straight minutes. Like, what do you do with this guy next?
Not much. He's 11-1. He's 4-1 in the UFC. It's not like he was top five or in any kind of title to contention.
No. But I mean, you know, stepping up to Damian Maia and then getting owned like that, where do you put that guy now? I mean, do you go back to like 15 or do you go unranked as your next fight?
It may be 10 to 15, depending on how everything's laying out right now. But yeah, nothing exciting there. I'm not going to, you know, bookmark his wiki page and keep up with him.
I think you're the one updating his wiki page, so that's going to be a shame. That's going to be a shame.
Eric Silva I don't even know. I mean, he absolutely dominated Josh Koscheck. I know Ken was super concerned of Josh getting back in the ring on that short notice.
I don't know why all of a sudden I become this Josh Koscheck fan. I just wasn't after he lost the last fight. Not this fight, but before. I told you. I thought it was a terrible idea.
It certainly looked like a terrible idea. Do you think? I mean, there was talk afterwards, both at the press conference and in the days afterwards, about him retiring.
That's why I said he shouldn't. He came out of that last fight, even though he lost. Like, oh, well, maybe he can still hang with those guys. You fight 3 weeks later. Now you got to retire. You could have probably stuck this one out for a couple more.
Ken
fights.
Ken was scheduling like five more fights for you. And then
I got
this
at least two or three.
Short notice.
You can't do that, man.
It was the last fight in his contract, and Dana White said that he's going to try and encourage him to retire. But this leads to other things, right? So if Dana doesn't want to re-sign him, he'd be a big hit in Bellator, WSOF, any of these other promotions.
Or go get, like, do something. You don't need to fight anymore. Like, that fight.
Oh, I totally agree.
That fight shows you
totally
that you
agree.
Do not need to fight anymore.
Yeah, but he's he's going to have all these other promotions knocking on his door if he leaves the UFC.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But they shouldn't. I'm telling you right now, and anyone who's listening.
But he's a draw. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be a draw. I mean, this was a really bad fight to take.
When this is all over, he can, you know, be a sponsor for Campbell's Soup.
Well, I mean,
which is exciting.
Well, you say that, but let's look at the last five fights. The last five fights.
Take us through it, Ken.
You've got Johnny Hendricks. That was a decision, by the way.
Yep.
Robbie Lawler.
Okay.
You've got Tyron Woodley.
Okay.
So a lot of people would argue top three guys in that division.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Jake Ellenberger. Okay. All right. Probably not maybe in the top five, but he didn't look totally outclassed in that fight. Okay, last weekend, and you got that's why you shouldn't have taken that fight. Because, I mean, who had a better argument on a four-fight losing streak than Josh Koscheck to keep fighting at that point?
Yeah. Maybe he just wanted to get it over with, too. I'm going to take this last fight and retire. And on that, you know, early MMA days, guys used to be in tournament style, right? And
sure.
If you look at wrestling or judo or any of these other things, they fight multiple times in a day or in a weekend. So is it that bad of an idea to bounce back from a fight, you know, if you didn't suffer any major injuries?
It's not that bad of an idea.
Just coming off of a big camp.
Unless the guy on the other piece of paper, his name is Eric Silva. Then yes, it's
for
a
sure.
terrible idea.
I get that.
Eric Silva in a full camp and you on 21 days notice is a terrible idea. I would argue this a terrible idea for anybody in the top, you know, five and below in welterweight.
Anybody that
a terrible idea
takes that fight too. You take that fight when you got a chance to do something. Eric Silva, as much respect as we give him in this room, you know, he's not seen as a world beater by any means.
Right.
He's not seen as a guy that's going to get you anywhere at that point.
He's
not seen as a name, essentially. The name in that fight was Josh Koscheck, folks.
Yeah.
If you're talking about who's actually putting the butts in the seat, essentially, Josh Koscheck selling the tickets. Oh, that's that Ultimate Fighter guy. Oh, yeah, he lost to a couple champs. That's what he did. He could probably fight, though. Eric Silva's not really going to gain you anything if you lose that fight. Props, though, to Eric Silva, because he probably doesn't gain anything in that fight either. And he still was able to take the fight and agreed to do it on short notice against a dude.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't have a short camp.
He did not. But
he didn't
just,
know the guy until, like, 2 weeks before.
I still think it's just a terrible idea. If the guy's name is Eric Silva, you should not take that fight. Eric Silva goes on a two-fight win streak. Josh Koscheck looks at retirement. The other crazy fight, if you're not super into jiu-jitsu, perhaps you weren't into the Santos and Burns arm bars and rear naked chokes, but Amanda Nunes, you've got to be into that as she just storms through Shayna Blaser destructive fashion. I think sending some notice up the food chain at the women's bantamweight level.
Perhaps. I mean, I think, you know, Shayna had a bit of a splash. She's part of the Four Horsewomen, right?
She is part of the Four Horsewomen,
is that
yes.
Thing?
That is a thing, yes.
Oh, boy. You didn't know about that?
That's
nope.
Girl, that's your girl, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. But I've never really been impressed by her performances. I've never really thought that she was going to be, you know, any kind of big name. She's 0-3 in her last fights. She's got zero wins in the UFC. She was an Invicta for a little while, so not a whole lot to talk about there.
Not really, but what I mean is Amanda looks better and better and better at that weight division, and to just plow through somebody and make them look like, I get the records aside, but you're in Brazil, anything can happen. You know, they put you in the middle of the card, they expect something out of you, or as Ken would say, it's a spotlight fight for you to storm through a girl
and
keep on a winning streak.
This is your opportunity to make a splash, right? We don't want to see a boring decision.
And there wasn't one.
Get a finish and have a dominant fight and be entertaining. Yeah.
And
that's what she was tasked with, and that's what she did.
And what's interesting is, as much as I enjoyed this card, and I don't know your thoughts on it, but it was the lowest Fox Sports 1 fight of the year.
Really?
But the prelims, which were home to probably the worst stoppage in the history of the UFC, was the third most watched thing on the network of Fox Sports 2. Now, you get bonus points if you can actually find Fox Sports 2, so understand that
I cannot.
The inverted
I do
hockey,
not get those points.
The inverted right. hockey stick of third most watched is not as deep as you might actually think it is.
It was probably circumstantial, depending on what was going on that night.
They just stumbled on it.
You know what I mean? You could have had college basketball roll into this, and everybody left their TV on the same channel.
I don't think it was that late. I think this goes more to us. We've spoken about it before. It's one thing about a pay-per-view, and you kind of got that draw, and you started at 10, and we know it's going to end around midnight 1. We can guarantee it's going to end at 1:30 if I leave my house to watch it. There's one thing when you have that. If you have this, at a minute, I put it on DVR. I didn't even plan to try to stay up for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess I get it. I'm getting up to be up there in years. I'm getting to be an older dude. But, you know, anybody with a kid or a family, or you can't carve out the time. You joked earlier about the 20 events between now and McGregor. Yeah. I mean, that's not a joke.
No.
We can't carve out 20 events. So you're going to get to a point where if this thing's not on, it's 7 or 8. I watched more of the prelims of this one live than I did the actual main card. Because that's when it was on. Okay, I can watch some of this right now. Okay, I'm not staying up till midnight wondering what Eric Silva and Josh Koscheck are going
to
do.
It was closer to one.
Well, I was under the main event there. Mm-hmm. And I also found it interesting, UFC didn't give any fight of the night bonuses for this one either.
They didn't?
No fight of the night bonus. They gave out those...
the performance bonus?
Yeah, performance of the night kind of deal. But they didn't do a fight of the night.
They've since replaced that, right?
Is that entirely replaced?
Yeah,
I thought that was only supposed to be two fights.
Nope, it's all performance of the...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so it's subjective, too. Sometimes they'll give out more than two performance of the night.
Well, they did give out Gilbert Burns, who's Godofredo?
Yeah.
Pepe,
yeah.
Man, Sousa, that was sick. And Serrano won that fight. So these weren't fighters necessarily in a fight with each other, which I found interesting. So they didn't see fit. I think they still do fight in the night if there's two fighters that really go at it, and they didn't see that this night.
Well, there was, I mean, save for Damian Maia and LaFleur, there were a lot of finishes. So a couple other things to talk about before we bounce for the weekend. I know Ken is super excited about this, as I am. Carlos Condit is back. He's got Thiago Alves at UFC Fight Night 67. That will be May 30th, so that'll be immediately after the John Jones, Rumble Johnson, Weidman Belfort pay-per-view, so look for that to happen.
What time is it? Because I'm excited, but I don't know if I'm not excited enough to set the DVR.
Just set the DVR. Kelvin Gastelum moves up to 185. He gets Nate Marquardt as his first opponent, which I think is...
I'm excited for that.
Not very nice to Kelvin Gastelum, but...
Really? I mean, he's young, but at 170, he's been a beast.
Yeah, but, I mean, Marquardt's a big dude at 85.
Has he already peaked, though? I mean, have we seen the best of him and you know, he's like on the downside now? I kind of feel that way.
Marquardt?
Yeah.
On the downside?
Yeah.
I mean, of all the people in the UFC, you're going to put Nate Marquardt in the downside?
Well, he tested positive for testosterone at one point, right? So he's not on that anymore. Right. Yeah, he was on TRT. That's right. He had a replacement therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's not going to have that in his system this time. He's coming off a loss to Brad Tavares. I give it to Kelvin Gastelum. Everybody's always counted Kelvin out, and he's performed every time.
Although not making weight. He's performed every time, but maybe he can't always make weight.
So yeah, he was working with Dolce for a while, then he's not working with Dolce. And look at Johnny Hendricks. Johnny stopped working with Dolce and looked... This is the best he's ever looked in his career.
Ooh,
right?
Is Dolce hurting his fighters next week on the show?
Well, what they say...
Hang on.
Dolce's argument is that he would get way too far off of weight outside of camp.
But there's some dudes that... Oh, we can start the argument now. But there's some dudes maybe it doesn't work for that way when you talk about Hendricks.
Well, not only that. Like, okay, so Hendricks looked the best that he did. He didn't fight the best I've ever seen him.
I think he had more energy, though. In his problems before that were gassing out, right? Like, he would gas out in 3 and 4 and 5.
You can't possibly look at me. I mean, coming back from 7 weeks of whatever job you took in whatever planet that could not get you here.
Apparently, somebody to go up against Dolce. He said it's the Joby Wankanobi diet system.
You cannot tell me that you looked at that fight and went, yeah, that was awesome. I can't wait to see that again.
And what I would say is that his problems leading up to that was gassing because of his weight and because of his fitness level going into that. And in that fight, he didn't gas. I think he had more energy in the later rounds than previous. And that was his big problem.
Hooray!
What do you got against?
Welcome back, Joe.
Well, what do you got against Dolce?
I don't have anything about against
Dolce.
You were the one that brought it up.
What I'm saying is that you said he looked the best.
I don't
that he
think
looked,
you two know what even, you're still arguing.
Not performance wise. Walking into the cage, he looked leaner.
He was supermodel fit, totally. Yeah, yeah. But you know, he walks out of that bummed out, and Dana White's like, title shot? No, I don't think so.
Well, the thing is, he had the title shot. He didn't have to take that fight. He could have got Robbie next, but he chose to take the fight. So that's his title shot. It's not saying like, oh, we're going to give him the title shot. He already had that. So if he doesn't get it, they're taking it away from him.
They flat out already said, like, I don't. I mean, come on, man.
I think he'll get it.
I don't think so. I think he'll have to fight.
Sure.
I think he has to fight.
He didn't
everybody.
Even have to take
He has to fight,
fight
everybody else on the roster first,
no
and then they'll think about it. And one last thing before we bounce, because we talked about him last week, and we're super excited to see if we can get an actual person in the ring against Demetrius Johnson that we care about. As Henry Cejudo gets another fight, he's going to fight at UFC 188, and it looks like his opponent will be Chico Camus, which would be a great fight that I'm excited about. But we talked last week that I think maybe one more, and you know, this fight can, and then we can get him in there against Demetrius.
Yeah, because, well, and again, I'm not saying he's top five or anything
no,
like that, but you've got a story to tell.
You've got
a guy that went to Beijing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy with wrestling credentials, and he's undefeated at this point, and he made his weight. So
yes, he made his weight. He's undefeated. If he wins against Camus, he's obviously still undefeated.
Yeah.
Makes for a great story that I think that they should jump on while they've got time, because
didn't you guys want him to take on like a top five guy though? So Chico's ranked 15th.
I mean, I don't know. Yes, did we? Yeah, totally.
Well, I think more along the lines of what I said is I would like to see that.
Yeah.
I didn't care, though. I think you tell the story no matter what at this point, because we're looking at this Demetrius Johnson fight, which we forgot about earlier when we were talking about Conor McGregor. So I think that changes the landscape of this,
yeah.
where you've got a guy, okay, all right, he's undefeated, he went to the Olympics. All right, go.
Go fight him. And you just, you desperately want Demetrius to get his just desserts, right? Because he's down there just scrapping against all these people and nobody cares.
Right.
You hear Joe Rogan talk about this. We talked about this last week, so I'll make it quick. You hear him talk all the time that he thinks Demetrius is the best pound for pound fighter on the planet because he just does everything perfectly. But as Ken alluded to, nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody cares.
And stop telling us that if we don't care, we're bad MMA fans. We don't care that you say that either.
but I think it's important as every...
He should wear his medal to the ring like Kurt Angle used to do.
Well, I mean, he came out to the Olympic theme in his last fight, so I think he should continue to do that Hulk.
Wear Hulk. You can wear a singlet
in
the UFC, right? Yeah. They let you do that?
That'd be sweet, like a red, white, and blue.
Well, because what's her face wore one?
Yeah. I think more. If I was a woman, I would wear that.
Just Carlos Esparza. Esparza wore a singlet. Yeah, I think you should be able to wear a singlet.
What are other choices? What are some other fashion choices you would make if you were a woman? Welcome back to the show. After 7 weeks. Wonder where you've been.
All right. If you need anything over the weekend, you can follow us along on Twitter and Facebook by searching at Wow Show. Have a wonderful weekend. We will catch you next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.